Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a phenomenal show lined up for you today. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda is calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. Hello, hello. How are you? How are things over on your coast?
They are good. I am so looking forward to having our guest on today.
I know, me too. In fact, my phone was ringing. As some of the folks who listen to our show know, I have multiple phone lines, and one of my phone lines was ringing off the hook this morning going, is he on, is he on, is he on? It's like, yes. Go listen to the show. Very exciting.
Fantastic. Well, I will let you do the honors of telling our listeners who we have with us today.
I'd be delighted to. You know, Gina, part of what I love about this program is that you and I are so devoted to going and finding fabulous, interesting, successful experts to come on board. And Dr. Fabrizio Mancini is exactly that. The folks who are going to be with us today are going to learn on so many different fronts, because Dr. Fab is an amazing entrepreneur and author and expert and teacher and healer. His focus has been in the world of healing. And I'm going to ask everybody who's with us today to listen on two fronts. Listen for the sake of your health, and listen for the sake of what it also can mean for you in what you're creating in your life and in your business. So we all know Western medicine focuses on treating sickness through drugs, surgery, and other invasive procedures. But it often overlooks our own body's power to heal itself. And our guest today teaches us how to increase our body's ability to heal from the inside out. Dr. Fabrizio Mancini, is the author of the best-selling book, The Power of Self-Healing, which is now out in paperback, and it's fabulous. And we're going to be diving into all of that, just like Dr. Phil, the doctors, Fox News, CNN Espanol, Univision, and all the top media. We're bringing you that same learning so you can take it into your life and into your world. Dr. Fab, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here with you.
I'm so pleased to have you here. And you were very recently part of the World Chiro Conference, a very new way of taking learning and business building information into the Chiro world, the chiropractic world.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I love about that program is the fact that it brings some of the latest technologies and information for individuals to really pay attention to their healthcare business, because to me, I've often said that a business is primarily a reflection of the self. And most of us look at our business as external entities outside of ourselves, little knowing that really what drives that business is the self itself.
Wow. Okay, so you just turned my head on the side slightly. And I'm thinking about that. And I know of all of the healing professions out there, I think of all of the ones that I've had helped me in my healing, let alone that I've worked with as a business, chiropractors are really devoted to thinking very much about what they do as a business and figuring out how to master running what they're doing as a business so that they can, in fact, expand and help more people. It's pretty unique.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the healthcare field, you know, chiropractic has been the natural leading profession for many, many years. And because we cannot afford the support of a paradigm that is actually based on what I consider the wrong concepts that are not leading people into a healthy, fruitful, enjoyable life, but more importantly, it's a life of dependency on either pharmaceuticals or perhaps even surgeries that is the only way you can maintain your life or even have some quality of life. So as a profession, we've had to be very much entrepreneurs to be able to, number one, get a message out there through mediums that are not perhaps the traditional mediums, and number two, to be able to rise the effectiveness of our process, our services, our products, because we can't afford to miss. That means that, you know, patients are going to give us an opportunity, and once they do come into our offices, then it's up to us to retain that relationship for a long time. And one of the most beautiful things of statistics in our profession that I'm very proud of is that we have over 80% satisfaction from our patients when medicine runs somewhere around 30%. So I believe that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, your business, like I said earlier, is a reflection of yourself. And the one thing that chiropractic taught me that I want to share with you today is the fact that the answers to our problems are going to come from two things. They're going to come primarily from looking for the causes of those problems and not necessarily the effects of the problems. And number two, it's going to come from looking internally for an answer rather than externally. And those are the things that we teach our patients to do. That means that you come in with a headache and most important thing in your mind is, please just get rid of this headache. Where I'm going to be more interested in as to what caused this headache in the first place? And because I know that pain is only an alarm system of the body, and it's trying to be my friend and tell me, hey, there's something wrong here, and I'm going to evaluate it a little bit further, then I'm not going to look at the pain as an enemy, and I'm not going to try to get rid of it. I'm going to try to learn from it. And once I reach that cause, now I'm not just alleviating a symptom short term, but I'm actually releasing the cause of that symptom long term. And then I'm not going to be looking necessarily for things externally. I'm going to be looking at your behaviors and your thought processes because, you know, most illnesses come from our choices that we make every day and the mindset that we have behind those choices, but it's the same thing in our businesses.
It is. It's so true. And, you know, I don't know if you and Gina have had a chance for her to share just how powerful mindset has been in her world. And
no, but I intend to do that on this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what, I would love if we start with mindset because, you know, one of the things, Dr. Fab, you and I have talked about this aspect of mindset, which really is, you know, in a Western culture, people do not understand that our outer reflection of health, our pain, our discomforts, so much of what we experience in life starts in mindset, and yet we're living in a culture which keeps looking for external solutions to symptoms that are manifesting. And so, you know, I would really love us all to start with this mindset side of things. And Gina, I would love it if you would share, you know, your journey and just your discovery of how powerful it is.
Sure. So I know in your book and in so much of what you do, Dr. Fab, you talk about the power of self-healing. And in your world, that means something very specific, right?
Yes.
And why don't we start by having you share what that means, and then I'll tell you a little bit of my story.
The main thing for me was primarily after 25 years of researching what heals and what doesn't, and after thousands of patients that have actually been able to allow their bodies to heal from inside out, I've been able to observe certain things. And one of the things for me is the fact that I needed to bring an awareness that our bodies doesn't heal just physically. Our bodies heal emotionally and spiritually. And I believe that, you know, when we talk about the law of attraction, we always talked about the things that our thoughts equals our behavior, and our behavior then yields to a feeling. And that feeling is what attracts everything into our life. But without having the proper thoughts, the proper what I call belief systems, you may be the kind of person that believes that I'm meant to be sick rather than well. You may be a person that believes that I'm only here going to live to be 70 years old instead of an average of 87 years old, which is the mortality rate right now. You may be the kind of person that believes that I'm meant to live in pain and anguish rather than to live in joyfulness and peace and happiness. So I to me, it was very important to share that our belief systems and our mindsets is really what creates the foundation for the quality of life that we're going to develop.
And I love that you know that there's
traditional medicine. Sorry, Linda, hang on.
Yep.
Both traditional medicine and our culture here in America really over and over again solidify those beliefs that you were just describing, the belief that you're sick, the belief that you're in pain. In my life, back in 1996, I was in a very serious car accident. And from that car accident, one of many, many injuries was an injury in my lower spine. Well, my doctors insisted that I needed a four-level spinal fusion, which I had in early 1997. Tried for a year to avoid it, but couldn't. Well, my very first back surgery, rods and screws at four levels, gave me an incurable infection. It was what you would probably know as a vancomycin-resistant staph infection. For the next 10 years, I was on this journey with my doctors. At one point, I had 14 specialists trying to find a way not to eradicate the infection, but to prevent it from spreading throughout the rest of my body. During that time, I had 9 major reconstructive surgeries on my back, more than 50 operations altogether. I was constantly on a myriad of different experimental antibiotics, many of them experimental IV antibiotics. And because of the overuse of these experimental antibiotics, by 2001, I had contracted a second resistant infection. The second was a resistant fungal infection that was producing yeast in my heart, my lungs, and my blood. By late 2004, that yeast had become so voluminous in my system that it was literally heading to my brain, which is why January 29th of 2005, my doctors came to me and said, you know, Gina, we've tried everything we can. We know you're only 40 years old, but it's time to start getting your affairs in order. You have about 12 to 18 months to live. I was devastated. I knew I was sick. I knew I was in a lot of pain, but I had no idea that I was sick enough that I could die. The minute my doctors told me this, I went into a state where I believed it. Why wouldn't you? They're your doctors. They say you're dying, so in your mind, you are dying. And I believed it in every single cell of my body. So my husband and I talked about it that night, and together we decided that I wanted to see the country before it was time to die. So we went out and found an RV that he could retrofit with my oxygen and my hospital bed and my IV poles. And we hit the road thinking we'd have about 8 to 10 months before it would be time to go home and die. During the entire trip, I had medications that were shipped to me no matter where I was. I was on 42 pills per day, 4 continuous IVs per day. My doctors wanted me to draw my own blood and take it to hospitals 5 days a week. They have a whole bunch of different tests taken for them. And those results would get sent back to the doctors. And it was as if every time I'd pop a pill or change an IV or take my blood, I was reinforcing mentally, subconsciously, you're sick, you're dying, you need this pill. You're sick, you're dying, you need this bag of IV fluid. Well, 6 months into the trip was my 41st birthday. That week, I was in Sedona, Arizona, and that week, I had 3 different blood tests taken to 3 different hospitals. All 3 came back with test results that I didn't even know were possible. All 3 said, this patient is clinically dead. Now, the reasons for that are unimportant, but you can imagine what that does at a belief system in my mind, right? Well, for my last birthday, or what we thought was going to be my last birthday, my husband decided he wanted to help with the pain. So he took me to see a massage therapist in Sedona, just hoping that for that one day she could help to eliminate the pain and help me to have the best last birthday possible. And he wheels me into her office, helps me up onto her table. She looks at me and she says, you know, you don't have to die as soon as you think. And I'm kind of chuckling inside, thinking to myself, yeah, right, how much is this one going to cost me? Because I expected that, like everybody else in my life, she was going to try and sell me some potion that was going to make me better. But it turned out that that wasn't at all what she was doing. She went on to tell me that if I could just remove the negativity from my life, I didn't have to die as soon as I thought. I proudly sat up on her table and explained to her that I had worked with some of the most amazing specialists on the planet, that I had already removed my negative attitude, and I was probably the most positive mental attitude she would ever see. And as I'm telling her, she's shaking her head. And she says, if all you have is a positive mental attitude, it's not going to be enough to save your life. So now I'm confused. I'm not quite sure what the heck she's talking about. So I asked if she could show me an example of what she meant. And she says, sure. She says, you need to be using the power of visualization. And again, I sit up proudly, oh, I use visualization every day. She said, wonderful. Explain your visualization. So I explain that I see myself as I am. I'm bald, I'm sick, I'm dying, I'm in a wheelchair, I've got tubes coming out of me. And I imagine what it's like to stand up out of my chair and my hair grow back in and all the tubes fall off and all of a sudden I'm happy and I'm healthy and I'm walking. And again, she's shaking her head. And I'm like, well, what's the matter? You said visualization. And she said, well, how do you expect to start in a negative place and have a positive result? I'm like, yeah, that's a really good question. For the rest of that appointment, we talked about what that meant and what that looked like and what I could do to apply it in my life. And I decided that I didn't have a lot to lose at that point, so I would go out and try and research it and see if maybe there was something to what she shared. And as I started going out doing that research, I started really using what she had shared with me. First, I stopped my pills. I couldn't tell my doctors because they told me that was going to kill me even faster. Then I stopped my IVs. Next thing you know, using what she's telling me, I went from being sick, dying, unable to walk. Neurologically, I have no feeling in my legs and feet to this day. Yet, by the end of just 4.5 months, I was not only no longer dying, I was 100% well. And today I walk without the assistance of even a cane. No one who sees me even can believe that I have no feeling in my legs and feet. You can't tell that I am not a 100% normal person. I simply balance and walk differently. But it's very much what you're talking about with the power of self-healing, I think.
Well, one of the things that I've learned is that the more that I study how amazing our bodies are to heal, especially with the latest evidence now with brain science, most of us, unfortunately, do not leverage that. And most of us are looking for answers outside of ourselves. And but I want to share with you a simple story of how emotions impact our health. So I had a patient recently that had fibromyalgia, but very severe for the last 15 to 17 years, taking 13 medications a day just to make it through the day, cannot sleep that well, just in misery and in pain constantly. And when she came in, she had been through all these specialists. She read my book. She came in, and she says to me, can you help me? And I said, well, I believe that you know your body better than I can ever pretend to know your body. And I'm going to ask you, if you were your own doctor, right? Pretend that you are your own doctor. If I was to ask you the question, not necessarily about what your symptoms are, but more importantly, what do you feel is the cause of these symptoms? She says to me, I have never been asked that question before. And she paused for a minute, and then I was surprised, but not really, of the answer. Immediately she said to me, I believe this is all have to do with the resentment that I have regarding a family member that is an alcoholic. And I've been living with it all my life, and I just don't know what to do, and I'm completely feel like a victim, you know, like I'm in prison. And I said, well, that mindset is showing up in the form of fibromyalgia in your way. So I just showed her some very simple techniques of how to change her perception towards the person in her family, give her some tips of what to do, and share the understanding that what you see in others is what others see in you, and begin to recognize, for her to be able to recognize that her body is only trying to communicate that this emotional perception that she has is not a healthy one, and it's causing a tremendous amount of pain in her life. Immediately after we finished the exercise, this was like about 10 minutes later, about 80% of her symptoms stayed away. Within 2 weeks, 100% of her symptoms went away. Now, you may ask me and say, how can an emotion clear up that quickly? Well, the body actually has the ability to heal instantaneously. And if it doesn't, it's because it doesn't have the right circumstances or because you're not addressing the real cause of the problem. So we have to keep digging into that cause. But once we get that cause, then we know that the body has a greater ability to heal.
Well, that's very interesting. It turned out that my biggest source of negativity came from two things. Number one, my first business was in the day trading arena. I opened a day trading membership site in early 1997. And because of that, I listened to the news 24/7. Even when I was asleep, CNN was on in the background. Well, not exactly very positive. So during that 4.5 months of my transformation, I stopped watching the news, I stopped listening to the news, I stopped reading the news. My second source of negativity was really the people in my life. My biggest challenge at the time happened to be my mom. My mom is a wonderful woman. She helps out at church. She volunteers at nursing homes. But she's one of those people that could win $1 million in the lottery and find a million reasons that it's a bad thing, not a good thing. So I literally had to call my mom one day, let her know that I was going to try the suggestion I had been given and that I could only give her two options. Either she could keep the negativity in her world and not let it enter mine, or I have no choice but to say goodbye. And, of course, she found a million reasons that it was going to kill me even sooner. And I ended the conversation with, Mom, I don't know when, if ever, I'll be able to see or speak to you again. I love you very much. And I hung up. At that time, my mom and I used to talk 6 or 7 times a day, no matter where I was. And for 5.5 years, I did not even talk to her one time. And it is not easy to get rid of those naysayers in your life who really are constantly giving you this negativity. And the beliefs that that puts inside of you are so huge. But the minute I hung up that phone, I had really severed the tie mentally and subconsciously. And from there, it really was almost instantaneous. Within 24 hours, I could move my feet and my toes. I hadn't been able to do that in 10 years. Within 48 hours, I was standing and walking on my own. Yes, I had a cane or a walker at that point, but within 48 hours, something that my doctors told me would never happen given the condition in my spine. So it really can be instantaneous.
Yeah, and I can tell you one thing that, you know, Wayne Dyer shared with me a statement about 22 years ago that really was transformational for me, and that was, that we're not human beings living a spiritual experience, but we're actually spiritual beings living a human experience. So how I translated that into my work is that I began to ask patients, if you believe that you're a spiritual being, how would you behave differently? Because you see, as human beings, we tend to focus on our imperfections, our limitations, instead of focusing on what I call the realm of possibilities. In the spiritual world, you know, you see yourself as a spirit. You don't see any boundaries. You don't see any obstacles. You don't see any limitations. All you see is the pure essence of what you are. And I believe that, unfortunately, most of us are not loving ourselves, because I can tell you one thing. If there is one thing, if you were to ask me, what do you believe is the cause of most illnesses in the world? I believe that the bottom and the biggest foundation of a cause, it's a lack of self and self-love and a lack of self-worth. Because when we get to the point that we can love ourselves enough to believe that we're worthy of health, We're worthy of success in our businesses. We're worthy of attracting abundance in our lives. We're worthy of doing great things with great people. Then that's when we begin to manifest those things in our lives. But if you are the type of individual, and, you know, it's interesting because when we go through school, they tell us, you know, you're going to have many of your patients that show up in your offices because they need that attention. They need that emotional attention. And as you notice, as we get older and you ask, just listen to the conversations of people that are above 65, I would say that most of it is regarding what doctors are they're seeing that week.
Uh-huh.
It becomes that's their social way of getting some attention, of getting some people acknowledgement or validation that they're still there. And I say to myself, my goodness, there's so many other ways that we can feel validated, that we can get the attention we want, but it has to be our choice. But unfortunately, that choice is really based upon your belief systems. And if your belief systems are not, but the good news is the fact that we can change our belief systems. And there's many techniques to be able to do that.
Are there particular ones that you use when you have a patient who is sitting with you, across from you, a client, an individual who has come in with some form of symptoms? Is there
I have a couple of things. The first thing is that for over 20 years, I've asked one question to all of my patients, and that is, I need to know, and this is during the consultation time, I need to know what the three things that you value more in your lives are, you know, the three biggest values in your life. And you'll be surprised how health has never been one of the top ones. In fact, it's probably only 20% of the people that I've interviewed will have put health as their priority or value systems in their lives. Most people put their work, they put their faith, they put perhaps their relationships, you know, but rarely do I find health. And then second of all, I ask the question, if you only have 24 hours to live, how would you live it? Because when you force individuals to a sense of urgency, like I give you an example. Recently, I met a lady that is a good friend of mine, the wife of a good friend of mine, and she just acquired Lyme's disease. And she is devastated. First of all, her nervous system is all out of whack. But the one thing she said to me is that once she went through that struggle of the diagnosis and what the doctors told her and how there was very little hope and all of that, she began to recognize that it was just an opportunity to pay attention to herself. She had been running around for the last 10 years going so hard that she was not putting health as a priority. Her immune system and her nervous system became compromised. She became susceptible to Lyme. Now, the good news is the fact that when you work on those systems and you build them back up again, you're able to then be able to release yourself from that condition. Or you can just choose to then be a victim and say, oh, my quality of life is never going to be the same. I might as well just hang it up. You know, I still remember one of my good friends, Dr. Bernie Siegel. Bernie Siegel was one of the leading oncologist cancer doctors in the world in the early 80s and 90s, written some of the best-selling books on cancer and how to deal with cancer in your life. And he said to me that he typically could tell the patients that were going to beat the cancer, the ones that were going to go in remission, because when most doctors will give them a sentence or a diagnosis or a prognosis, then these individuals immediately will just get their affairs in order. They were told a time frame, and they believed it. And he said that those patients that did that typically passed away sooner than the prognosis. But the patients that would say, well, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from, but I'm not ready to die. I have things to do. I want to be here for my grandchild's wedding. I want to make sure that my children get to do this. I want to be able to enjoy my retirement with my loved one. I have places that I want to see, and I'm here to do whatever I need to do to make sure that those things happen. He immediately knew that those people had already a belief system that they were not going to be able to be the victims to this condition that we call cancer. And then he said that those individuals then were the ones that develop an optimistic attitude. And now we have so much evidence that show that when you have an optimistic and a positive attitude, you are twice more likely to heal than if you don't. We already have a lot of research that show that if you use visualization and biofeedback and begin to visualize your cancer shrinking every day, you have the ability to shrink that cancer more than if you don't. So why not utilize some of these things? Well, the bottom line, and I think Gina said it very clearly, we live in a world that is conditioned by what we see in the media. And what we see in the media primarily are commercials that show you this beautiful graphic that if you take this little pill, you're going to have this thing. The reality of it, that's not how the world works. Our bodies, even though they are chemistry importance, they're more energetic in nature. And because I've studied energy medicine for 20 years, I can tell you that your body responds to energy far more than they respond to chemistry. And chemistry is great primarily for urgent cases. And I worked in two different hospitals as a volunteer, and I can tell you I've seen life saved. But for the average person, and especially that we live in a healthcare system, that over 80% of our conditions are chronic in nature and that they do not respond well to pharmaceuticals or even some of the surgeries that are out there, then why not explore some of these complementary and alternative procedures that are very much evidence-based nowadays and that have helped millions of people, but unfortunately there's a lot of people that are still not open to it.
I love the focus on energy, and in your book you talk about the healing triad of forgiveness, gratitude, and love. So what is research telling us about energy and the effect of emotions, both positive and negative, on our health?
Well, what's interesting is that our emotions, really, when you boil everything down and you start working into the world of quantum physics and you start getting into the advanced sciences, I call it now, the advanced sciences are actually able to explain what we've always known, but unfortunately, because of traditional science, everything they want is a double-blind study that proves that every person has the same outcome, even though we're all separate and individuals, in the, different people. And there's a lot of studies now that show that the diabetes in a person expresses itself very differently than the diabetes in another person based upon not only their genetic makeup, but their lifestyle and their mindset. So if they have a healthy mindset and a healthy lifestyle, that diabetes is going to express itself very differently. So what I did is that I started researching, because we live in a world of body-mind, I started finding out what were the emotions that were actually helping us heal and identifying what were the emotions that were making us sick. So I found out that there were three emotions that were the most toxic, the ones that actually make us the most sick, and they were worry, because most people are attaching themselves to the past with worrying. It was fear, and that was about expecting something negative to happen in the future. And it was anxiety in the present. So those three emotions were the ones that I have found were the most toxic. And then I started researching and saying, okay, if we have those three emotions that are toxic, which ones are the ones that then can help us heal faster? And then I discovered that one of the best ways to release our past or the worry in our lives is to actually begin to forgive. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful emotions that we have, but unfortunately, most people have not been able to implement forgiveness into their life. And I can tell you that more and more I find that when you forgive something, and there are many tricks of it, you can write it down and, you know, crumple it up and then light up the paper on fire or put it, throw it in a fireplace. You can, you know, in Asia, they have a beautiful custom that they put the thing, the resentment, the anger in a balloon, and then a helium balloon, and then they let it go into the sky, and they see it just float away. And it's a metaphor that actually lets you know that you're releasing that. But we must let go of that anger, resentment, because there's so much clinical evidence that shows that those are the foundation for many of the illnesses, especially the chronic illnesses. And then I started identifying that gratitude. Gratitude is one of the best ways to bring us back into the present rather than being so much into fear into the future. And gratitude, you know, many people have talked about developing a gratitude journal. And writing the things that you're grateful for are fantastic, and I encourage you to do so if you're not doing it. But what I'm thinking about gratitude is, like, for instance, the first 5 minutes, as soon as I open my eyes, I spend in gratitude. Just being grateful for the wonderful bed that gave me the ability to have a nice 8-hour sleep. Or perhaps, you know, my home that provides just such a warm climate and a warm feeling for me to be able to sleep. my neighborhood that is quiet, you know, that I don't have to deal with sirens all the time and noise, you know, my family, knowing that they're all healthy and safe. And I just start going down the list and just be very grateful. But I mean grateful in everything that we do with that attitude of appreciation, because when you're grateful, you're appreciating what you currently have and not always wanting more. You know, we live in a society right now that it just doesn't seem like no matter where you live, it's not good enough. No matter what car you drive, it's not good enough. No matter what shoes you wear, it's not good enough. No matter what dress you wear, it's not good enough. Instead of being so grateful, like, you know, thank God that I have these wonderful shoes that are keeping me, you know, away from having to step in the floor without any shoes. Now, I grew up in South America, in Colombia, and there are some parts in Colombia that are so poor that most children and most adults don't have any shoes. And you know, and we have to be thankful for all those little things. And the last one is anxiety. And anxiety is something that in this unprecedented world that we live in which we are seeing things that we've never seen before as far as unemployment rates, as far as banking industries collapsing, as far as healthcare systems that are not working and that are really being challenged economically. This is a very anxious world. And just getting up in the morning can be very anxious. Driving to work can be very anxious. And what I've learned is that the one emotion that really helps us with the anxiety in our life is love. And I talk about love from a non-conditional perspective. You know, the kind of love that you have for a baby when it's born. No expectations at all. But unfortunately, because we deal in a world of relationships, we tend to put a lot of conditions in all of our relationships. I'll do this business deal with you as long as you give me this, and I'll give you that. You know, I'll sleep with you as long as you do this or that. I'll marry you as long as you do that or this. And unfortunately, anytime you attach a condition to love, you're already limiting its potential. And I know that sometimes it may seem that this is not possible. How can I love everything and everyone from an unconditional perspective? But I'm here to tell you that it is possible. And it begins just by gently not looking for what is in it for you, but by loving for the sake of loving. By loving because you're good, not because the other person is good. By loving for the sake of understanding that what brings meaning to our lives is what we can contribute to other people's lives. And once we do all of that, then we begin to recognize that these three emotions have set the stage for a body that can not only be healthy and healing, but most importantly can reach its full potential.
And it's all tied together, both body, mind, and spirit, and all of those levels.
Yeah, because
one of the things that I've seen over and over again in my work is that anyone I work with that really does see success in their business, they also see enormous improvements in their health. And you can't do one without the other. They're two parts of one being. And I'm sure you've seen the same thing, Dr. Fab.
Yeah. Well, what happens is this, Gina. I find that because, you know, I spent the last 20-something years helping individuals, healthcare providers primarily, become successful. And, you know, I learned very early on that success is 80% mindset and 20% behavior. And if you can shift that mindset that got you to where you are, one of the things that I teach is the fact that you cannot separate your personal life from your professional life, because then you're missing out the key element that most of us are recognizing every day as one of them, and that's authenticity. You know, I often say that communication is less than 15% verbal. Most people are so worried about scripting themselves, making sure they're saying the right things. And I believe that scripting is good from the perspective of giving you guidance, giving you understanding of how to communicate with words that are simple to use. But unfortunately, over 75% of communication is nonverbal. So I believe that the reason why authenticity is so important is that the best way you can communicate your message is to live it. You know, my wife and I have two beautiful children, 13 and a half and 16 and a half. And since day one, we made a pact that we were not going to tell our children what we wanted them to do, that we were going to show them through our behavior. Because by learning a lot of psychology and understanding and observing children, children like to model, especially the younger they are. And if you can show them the behaviors that you would like for them to model, you're far more effective than telling a child, don't do this, don't do that. Because then all of a sudden you're putting fear in themselves rather than to showing them the productivity and the constructivity of your own behavior. So anytime that we see a behavior in our children that we may not be happy about, we look into our lives and say, could we be displaying this behavior in any way? And almost 100% of the time, there is some element of that behavior that we're displaying. And we begin to shift that, so that way they begin to recognize that, and we see them shifting that behavior automatically.
Wow. Go ahead, Linda.
No, I'm thinking about the families that I spent this past weekend with, and recalling, you know, that what I was observing in the kids who felt the most secure and the most self-confident, even at a very young age, and the energy that their parents were speaking, the energy and the tone of voice and body mannerisms as their parents were speaking with them, you know, it carries straight forward through the rest of our life. So here were these parents who were modeling it with their children. And when I'm working with my clients and I'll go in and sit in on a meeting and people think, you know, that, well, what gets said verbally in a meeting suffices. Of course it doesn't. It's what's going on with your physical body expression and everything else. It's rolling off of you in waves. What you really think about the other people that are participating in that meeting, in your expectations of an assignment that's been given out being accomplished and so on. So all of this plays in so many ways throughout our lives, both in our health, in our relationships, in how we show up and who we are when we're in our business and so on.
Well, one of the things that I've learned is, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life after so much research on and experiencing some of these things in my own life, because I'm probably my best student. And I love being a student. I love to learn. I love to continue to test different things. And one of the things that I've learned, it is boiling down to one thing, and that is my response to everything. Now, I cannot control external things. I cannot control perhaps the economy. I cannot control whether my boss likes me or not. I cannot control whether I'm going to get that promotion or not. I cannot control whether my car is going to work today or not. Those are all external things. The one thing that I can control is my response towards those things. But unfortunately, most people have this impression that external factors is what defines them, is what defines the outcome of things. You know, if I don't have, I mean, how many times have you heard in your business, you know, oh, I just can't do this because I don't have any money. And then at the same time, I'm seeing all these investor capitals and all these people that are trying to find worthy projects to invest money in because they want to get a greater return on investment and they want to get away from the traditional way of investing. And so here you have a dichotomy. People are saying, I have a great idea, I have this great project, I have this great business, I just don't have enough capital. You know, I mean, I was given by small business loan $75,000 to start my business. I chose not to take it. Somebody told me that there was something called an executive suite, that I could rent the room for $250 a month, month to month, then $100 extra for the phone line, and then I paid for my copies as I needed it, and I paid for other things as I needed them. And that's how I started my practice, with less than $1,200 in my bank account. And my first month, I profited over $3,800. My second month was over $5,800. And then it just growing and growing. And I never had a month that I didn't profit. So what I like to share with people as far as when they're thinking about their business decisions is, are you investing on the things that can really drive your business forward, or are you investing on the things that are actually the things that are going to give you the opportunity to feel good about yourself, because you're maybe not as secure, but it's not going to do much for your business. I'll give you a perfect example. So in chiropractic, we have some fancy tables. You can buy tables that are actually up to $12,000, or you can have a portable table that is $350. I started my practice with a portable use table that cost me $87 when I graduated. I never had a patient say, Dr. Mancini, are you going to adjust me on that? Not once, because what was important for that patient is that I got results for that patient and I was able to adjust them in a way that would yield that result. well, many times people overextend themselves financially because they're trying to get the bells and whistles and the office space. Like one of the biggest things that we found in our research is that most healthcare providers, especially chiropractors, are having 2 to 3 times the amount of space than they really need to take care of the patients they're going to see. So they get themselves into so much real estate, pay for that square footage that they don't need, but they want to do it by themselves. They want to put their name on the office. They want to have their branding. And the reality of it is, you know, the medical profession has the right. Why don't we share the overhead? Why don't we combine our resources to do a great, effective marketing program in our community? Why don't we become the entity where everybody sees us as the leaders of health in our community? When I started my practice, I went to about 17 chiropractors and offered that suggestion. Not one took me up on it. Everybody wanted to do it on their own, and every one of them was failing. Every one of them was failing. And I kept saying to myself, isn't it amazing that people are willing to fail as long as they feel that they're doing it their way and they're right? And we do that all the time. We let our ego get in the way of what really works. And that's why you guys have been so wonderful in sharing this information and helping us understand there's better ways to do business.
I'm very curious. One of the things that's really fabulous, marvelous, is that you went from planning to go into neurosurgery, discovering this other path that called to you, and as you said, really finding out what it takes not only to be the healer but the business person. And you became the president of Parker University. In that role, were you able to get new thinking into the students who were coming through those programs?
Yes and no. And the reason I say that is yes for the ones that wanted it and no for the ones that chose to continue to follow their own belief systems. I can tell you that we offer so many opportunities for them to advance from seminars, weekend workshops. I mean, I would even ask some of my biggest friends to come down, and I will pay their expenses just to come down and share on a weekend program that they will charge thousands of dollars to their clients, and I will have maybe out of 1,000 students, maybe 25 show up. But it was the same way when I was a student. Dr. Parker will bring these amazing people, you know, like Deepak Chopra and all these other great people that will come to teach us, and only a handful of students were coming wanting that extra information, awareness. And so that's why I said to you, one of the things that I've evaluated over the years, you know, 13 and a half years I've been watching as president of Parker University, students come and go. And I've seen them, and I read their applications, and we're very selective in who we choose. But the challenge is that once they come in, they get themselves in an environment and whoever they surround themselves with. Like one time, and I'll never forget, I had a young man that was wearing a suit every single day, a suit and tie every single day from day one. So I happened to notice that the faculty was noticing, and I ran into him in the courtyard, and one day I asked him, and I said, you know, do you mind if I ask you, you know, how come you're wearing a suit and tie every single day? He said, well, I realized that I want to be a very successful doctor, and I have to dress like one from day one. And if I start acting as if, which is what his mentor told him, that you will be more successful than most. Well, he became the president of his class, he graduated with honors, and he became an amazing, successful chiropractor from the get-go because he had already that mindset. He had already decided that failure was not an option, that not success was not an option. He chose his destiny. He chose his destiny by responding in how successful people will respond. I have seen so many opportunities. I mean, this happened to me in one of the major networks on television, because I'm doing a lot of television. They said, you know, we really have never really felt comfortable having chiropractors as experts because we've heard different things about chiropractic and natural healing and how scientific they were. And I said, well, you can ask me any questions. So they drilled me for 2 hours. Now that same network is asking me to do a weekly segment in their shows, and this is one of the biggest networks, and I'll release it as soon as we finalize it. And it was all because my level of certainty was greater than theirs. And if I can share one little tip of wonderful wisdom that I've learned, always understand that your customer's level of certainty or belief system, if yours is greater than theirs, you will always be able to influence them into a better life. If you have a product or service right now that you're having difficulty communicating to others, you must ask yourself, do I really believe in this myself? Do I really believe my services are the best? And if it's not, you better work towards becoming the best, because it's very competitive out there. But when you communicate that with so much certainty, what you'll find is that people automatically feel that they want to buy from you, because you carry that around. Well, when I showed up into that network's office and for 2 hours they were drilling me, there was no hesitancy in me that I was just as good as some of their biggest names on television right now that are the health experts to America. And they felt that, and they were hungry for that, because they want differences, they want change. And for me, they're trying to appeal to a Hispanic audience, and they don't have anybody like me that they can actually start putting on television on a regular basis. So you got to believe in yourself first and foremost.
Very cool, very cool. You know, I know I have another couple of questions for you, but I want to let all of our listeners know how they can go about getting the book that we've been talking about, as well as some amazing gifts. And so it will always be in the show notes, the link. We make it a nice quick link of bbdnow.com/fab for Dr. Fab. And would you share the gifts that you have? If they follow that link, they're going to be able to buy your book from you and also get these amazing gifts.
Well, you know, in celebration for the paperback, you know, the book has become an international bestseller, which means you have to hit the best-selling list in six countries at the same time. And it's become a national bestseller list in the United States. And the publisher just released a paperback copy. And in celebration of the paperback copy, what we wanted to do was to be able to give the ones that are open to learning more about how they can self-heal themselves, how they can actually stop suffering as much, how to have more energy, how to get trimmer and fitter, you know, all with very practical information, inspirational stories, and most importantly, the scientific evidence behind it, but in a way that you can get it. I'm not giving you so much science that is boring, but just giving you the science that you need to know, so that way you know that this is something that has been already tested out there. And so if you go to my website, which is www.drfabmancini.com/self-healing-book, what you're going to get is that if you buy one book, I'm going to give you a 2-hour audio companion to the book. Some people, they need to reinforce their message through listening to something. So you can download it on your phone or your tablet or even in my car. Like, my car is a walking library. Every time I drive, I'm listening to somebody new. If you buy 2 books, I'm going to give you not only that, but I'm going to give you also my 4 Steps to Living a Fabulous Life System, which is a book that I wrote, and an audio recording of that book that will also help you be able to have the life that you dream of. And then if you buy a case of books, which is 24 books, I'm going to give you my newly released, actually it's going to be released next week, 21-day online video coaching program, in which I come to you on video, 5-minute videos every single day, reminding you what to do every single day for 21 days to unleash the self-healing power within yourself. I give you tips on what to do physically. I give you tips on what to do emotionally. I give you tips on what to do spiritually. And every single day for 21 days, which is the average time that it takes to build a habit, I hope that by the time you finish that program, you have built a habit for life. But the results on that 21 day, because it's at the end of the book, I created the 21-day program. The results that I've gotten over the last year of people that are already using it have just been just beyond anything I could have expected. So if you're ready for some health in your life, if you're ready to start attracting more abundance and be more successful, you definitely want to get that program. And I've always give you more than what you invest. So whatever dollar amount you invest, I'm investing in you a lot more, because I want what's best for you.
I love it. And I have to say, as I went through the book, I'm someone, I love lists, and I'm very much about, I want to make my choices. I'm not very good at following other people's lists, you know, A through Z, but I love the list that you put together about the new habits to create for our daily habits. Do you have favorites in there?
Well, you know, there's so many things that you can do, but I tell you, one of the best habits that I've learned over time and as I've evaluated healthy people is getting up early in the morning. You know, the early risers have been shown to also live longer, and not only that, but have better successful lives, better personal lives, and better quality of life in every aspect. The other one is I love doing a recovery shake after I work out first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning workouts have also been found to be some of the best things. And I believe in supplementation because what's happening right now is that our foods are not being processed properly. And many, even if you buy organic, a lot of times you can't guarantee that you're getting all the essentials. So I recommend to, you know, and I list the top 25 foods that will help you heal from any condition, and I share with you what it helps prevent also. But then with the supplementations, I do a recovery shake in which I add my healthy fats, and I do vegetables and fruits, and every morning I just do that with some of the best supplements I have found. And it just sets my day in the right tone, and then I move forward. The other one is meditating at least 20 minutes a day. And whether you want to meditate or pray, both of them, the scientific evidence has shown that when you pray or meditate, you're twice as likely to heal from any condition you're going through, you know. So why don't you incorporate that into your daily routine? And I started doing some meditations right now that are very powerful, that are allowing me to get in tune with that little voice, that little whisper inside of myself that really is the infinite wisdom. It's what has all the answers to our challenges, except we're too busy and too distracted by the external world that we're not listening enough from the internal world.
I love it. And, you know, I have said for years that people mistake the idea of what meditation is all about. So many people think it's about trying to figure out only how to be silent. And one of the techniques that I teach to the folks in my programs is that you can take being grateful, your gratitude, as a meditational practice as well. So when we think back about what we've been talking about during the past hour and this notion of how to reorient ourselves and reset ourselves to be able to create health for ourselves, and part of that being how to counterbalance fear and worry and anxiety by really being in a state of thankfulness and appreciation. As you said, from the moment when you wake up in the morning, the gratitude for having woken up and woken up in the circumstances that you've shaped and created in your life, that too is meditation. And I hope all of our listeners find from everything that we've been talking about today a practice they can start to put into their lives to start partnering with themselves, being in choice and creating self-healing for themselves.
You know, and when you go to my website and you put your name and your email, you can also get my e-newsletter every 2 weeks where I give you articles that go into blogs. I mean, there's a lot on the website as far as content. But one of the things that I'm doing is that on my newsletter, I put all the radio and TV episodes and lectures that I do. So that way you have access to all the stuff that I'm doing out there. You can keep up with some more content. And continue to be a good student. You know, there's a lot of answers out there. I look at it as this. Imagine that you have one of those locks that are combination locks. And you are very frustrated because you don't know the combination, and you're trying, right? And you're trying to open it up, but it just won't open up. And then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, by the way, here's the combination. And then with a very simple effort, you open that lock, and it just feels relief, right? Well, I believe that's the same thing with our health, with our businesses. It's the fact that we are not finding and we're not utilizing the right combination. And the right combination may be different at different times in our lives. And I believe if you become a student, the teacher will appear. And you wouldn't be listening to this recording unless you were ready for more. And so I'm just saying to yourself, just please remind yourself that it's just a matter of finding that right combination. And sometimes you may have to try a couple of them to find the right one, but just keep trying because persistence is the key to success.
It is. It so is. And I know that this is going to be an interview that so many of our listeners are going to be taking with them, downloading and listening to over and over and over again, and going and getting your book and diving in and finding the gems that are in there for themselves as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Fab. I have not read your book yet, but it is now at the top of my reading list. I can't wait to read it.
Well, Gina, thank you for sharing also your story. It was very, very important for not only me, for all of us to understand that even somebody at your level of success has been through a lot of challenges, and you responded in a way that has allowed you to continue to serve so many people. And Linda, thank you for having me. What a great joy this has been. I really have enjoyed it.
Thank you,
and Dr. Fab, if there is ever anything at all I can do for you, please just let me know. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can.
Oh, you already have, Gina. You already have.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And please make sure to go and visit Dr. Fab's site. And Linda, can you give that link one more time?
Yeah, the quick link that's going to take you straight there is bbdnow.com/fab.
Fantastic. And Linda and I will be back at noon Eastern next Tuesday here on Blog Talk Radio for another fantastic episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.